Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
I'm itching for the game.
Man.
Does anyone else feel this way?
It's Cubs Brewers. That's going to be, you know, as good as it gets.
2-1 pitch. Swing and a fly ball hit to right. Back is Frelick. He's at the wall, and Bush hits a leadoff home run to give the Cubs a 1-0 lead.
What does undaunted mean?
Not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment.
Here's the pitch. Drops down, a line drive down the right field line. That'll score Churio. Terang into second base. Back-to-back doubles, and we're tied 1-1. Line drive left center. That one's headed towards the gap, and in to the gap it goes. Terang will score. Contreras slides into second. It's 2-1 Milwaukee. Perkins, line drive back up the middle of base.
What a great at bat.
Vaughn will score. Frelick goes to third. It's 4-1. Blake Perkins delivers on the 11th pitch of the at bat. Swinging a bouncer, third base. Shaw knocks it down. Throw across the diamond. It's going to be late. 3-for-3 for Jackson Churio. It's 9-1. 2-2 is on the way home. Rolled to first. It's a fair ball. Bowers has it. Takes it to the bag. And game one belongs to the Brewers. 9-3, the final score. Freddy Peralta picks up his first career postseason win.
Let the good times roll.
Kyle Bruston Northman across ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Ben Brust alongside Kyle Wallace and Brad Northman. Strofe's running the show. We put that together for all of you and look forward to putting together something just as fun after tonight. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. List is more. We're on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. 808 first pitch. Aaron Ashby is your opener. Shota Imanaga is the starter. Every game's a big one in the playoffs, folks. Every game is a big one. Bradley, do you look at me like I'm crazy? Like, it's pretty bland statement when it comes to the playoffs.
No, it's true. I mean, playoff baseball, I'm a football guy, right? But boy, playoff baseball sure is fun.
It
Every game
different.
Is so great. It is an adrenaline rush. And when I look at this game, the adrenaline rush that's going to happen tonight, if and when the Milwaukee Brewers win tonight, guys, the series is over. The series is O-B-E-R over. There's no way you're telling me that this Milwaukee Brewer team would go 2-0 over the Cubs and they wouldn't be able to win one of the three final games. There's no chance about it. And here's why. This team...
Ooh, there's a why.
There's a why. Of course there's a why. There's always a little bit of stats, a little bit of logic behind my statements.
We were missing numbers and logic.
This team thrives on momentum. The multiple double-digit win streaks throughout the season, they thrive on momentum. So you win on Saturday. You win tonight at American Family Field. You got all that momentum going into actual Wrigley Field, not this crap Wrigley Field North. And they're going to bring that momentum into a team like the Chicago Cubs that also embody their manager. Craig Counsell... Good for you, Craig Counsell, for getting the Cubs to here, but they sort of embody him, right? A little bit, you know, a little bit mopey, a little bit aw shucks when they're losing, but not this Brewers team. Not only that, if things go according to plan tonight, I'm reading the tea leaves, and Ben, correct me if I'm wrong here, Aaron Ashby takes the mound, Quinn Priester long relief, you got a bullpen that's well rested
good,
for the
Bradley.
Rest of the week. So we got a rested bullpen, and you're going to exhaust the Cubs bullpen. The bats are hot, they'll continue to be hot, and not only that, guys, Milwaukee Brewers, throughout the regular season, best team in the major leagues with the away record. I'm not scared to go to Wrigley Field at all and go ahead and get a win. If the Brewers win tonight, go up 2-0, all you got to do is get one win over the next three games. Easy money. My eyes start
Ooh,
looking
I don't
toward,
like the easy money thing. You're bad with the easy money stuff.
Start looking to the Dodgers and Phillies
whoa,
series.
Whoa,
That's
whoa,
where I'm going to start.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So slow down.
You've been gone for 4 weeks.
Grab the walk, okay? You need to hold on now because I'm excited with you, right? Like, today is a big game. I believe the Brewers are going to go up 2-0 tonight, but we got to slow down. And like Pat Murphy has talked, we got to take this not just one game at a time, not just one day at a time, one pitch at a time. You got to slow down and focus on who this team is. And Brad, you must remember, despite the fact that the Brewers are the best team in baseball, there's still people who don't believe in this baseball team. So the Milwaukee Brewers should not ever get overly confident. They should focus on who they are, and they should take it one pitch at a time. Don't look ahead. If they win tomorrow or if they win tonight, guess what? Looking ahead to Wednesday to have us take care of business. I'm not focused on trying to, you know, we need this series is over. Hell no, it's not over until it's over. Remember Kobe said, it's
powerful.
Not done. It's not done.
Job's not finished.
It's not yet. What are we doing? So, Brad, we need to have this approach. Listen, this team is different. This year is different. Saturday showed you that this team, they focus on it one pitch at a time and ask the Chicago Cubs
not just
about
Saturday,
that.
All year.
They have.
That's why I was so happy to see that they had some time off, and I wasn't – like, there was always a little bit of worry about what are you going to look like. But the way that they played baseball for 162 games, the way that we've read Christian Yelich about the leadership and Christian Yelich talking about it doesn't have to be anyone putting the team on their back. Somebody is always there to step up. Could be someone different every game. Caleb Durbin talking about if you're going to go to play baseball against the Milwaukee Brewers, you better be ready to go to war for 9 innings. Every pitch, every at-bat is going to be a grind for you. And I love that they got their mental break to prepare for their next war. Well, they're in battle number one, and there's a lot more battles to win. Battle number two is tonight, and that's where my focus is. But if you do want to talk about what does excite me from a how game one played out and how the Cubs have traditionally won games this year, it's been through their power. And they can show that power today, absolutely. But as it gets into October and it's a little bit cooler and the winds blow in at Wrigley Field, guess who manufactures runs better than any team in baseball? The Milwaukee Brewers. They don't need to hit home runs. They didn't need to hit home runs on Saturday to put up the numbers that they did. They just continue to stay locked in every pitch, every at bat. So I love your confidence, and part of me wants to agree with you, but I can't do it for a team that has never won a World Series yet.
You know, they look like a team on Saturday that was itching to play. You talk about itching to watch the game. That looked like a baseball team, a whole bunch of young guys that love to play baseball and could not wait to get out there to do and play the thing that they love, and it showed.
And they each had moments. Everybody had the moment.
Everybody got on base.
That's insane.
Every starter got on base. That's an incredible and monumental thing for the Milwaukee Brewers to have.
I felt bad for Alex Stroth because he wanted to celebrate his guy Salvatore, but he was the only one who kind of dinked one that – was that ruled an error? I believe it was.
It was either an error or fielder's choice. Regardless, he still scored a run. We're fine.
Yeah, I know. I just, like, your guy was the one. And again, that's the beauty of today. Who's it going to be? You don't have to say, it's got to be this guy. No one has to go into tonight's game and saying, this guy has to do X, Y, or Z. From a pitching standpoint, you can maybe look at that a little bit more. Like, hey, if we can get Ashby to get the lefties, like, is Craig Counsell gonna still put Michael Bush at the top of the lineup, and you got a lefty here. Freudian slip.
Yeah, he likes that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, you still don't even know what a Freudian slip is, though.
Yeah, well, we're gonna move on from that because Aaron Ashby, lefty, is he gonna put Michael Bush number one in the lineup? Like, what? Like, there's a chess match to all of this, and I love every second of what the Brewers have a potential to do tonight.
Well, that's why, even with Jackson Churio, with that, whatever the extent of that hamstring injury, we don't know. At most seasons, I'd be freaking out. It's like, this is our guy who is our primary gamer in moments and a rising young star for the Milwaukee Brewers. But this team is so complete, right, from top down, particularly in the batting lineup, that I'm not freaking out. I still have the same amount of confidence. I'd always choose to have Jackson Churio in the lineup. My confidence level would be marginally higher. But without him, I'm not sitting here thinking, how are we possibly going to be able to beat the Cubs? One of the best streaks that this team had was without Jackson Churio. It just seems like when there's a little bit of a void, everybody rises to the occasion. And I have no doubts that's going to happen over these next several games.
Yeah, these games are just exciting. I'm waiting. Tonight is just about how special is this team.
Will Kyle stay up for all 9 innings?
Oh, I'll stay up for all these games. I'll be fine. Mr. Oktoberfest is buzzing anybody, huh?
Oh, what do you mean? What's Mr. Oktoberfest?
Yeah,
his new personality?
No, how was watching the game on? I'm sure you watched the game from like a bar in comfort of maybe your home where you're able to
I did. So I started watching the game at Oktoberfest at the Summerfest grounds.
Oh, you were in that big a public? Oh, would you have front row seat, right? You could see everything, right?
I was the frontest row you could be at the U.S. Cellular stage, yes.
Oh.
Though they had it gated off, but they had it on the big screen there, so I was there for like the first three innings.
Oh, and then what happened?
What about your friend you brought in town? You forced him to stand by a gate?
He was there too. No, we weren't standing. We had a picnic table. Okay. I was sitting sideways on the picnic table, very uncomfortable. And then I took an Uber to a bar, and we got there for the fifth inning.
Oh, did the Uber turn on the Brewers game?
Yeah. He was listening to the FM translator, 103.3.
94.5 HD2 is what I can easily get to as well. A lot of ways to listen.
I think that's the same, but it's new cars that it's different.
Yes.
Okay.
You can do both.
I drive a 2012, so I don't know how any of that stuff works. Yes,
right. Just letting people that they can get the Brewers in many ways.
He's a radio signal guy.
100.5 ESPN Madison, if you're listening, we'll have that for you.
On you.
We'll have that on you.
We'll have that on you.
That will be playing on 100.5 ESPN Madison. Make sure you stream Brewers baseball as well if you need to on the WTMJ app. I mean, look, get me to 808. Get me to 808.
Yeah, again, I'm just waiting for the time to go. That's the great thing about being at work. I have to be here. I love talking to KBN Nation, and guess what? By the time I get to the crib, eat dinner, and guess what? Sit down. It's time for Brewers baseball.
Yeah. Just trying to think here. How do I pass the time?
I will say, it's the perfect first pitch for a father, right? I'm thinking about all this, like, the boys will be down, baby's going to be slow. I can be able to focus fully on it. During that 1 o'clock, it was tough to watch.
Chaos.
All the chaos.
Chaos in the Nortman estate.
That's right. Why don't you say, hey, sit down and watch the Brewers now.
That's right. That's right.
Don't
that's
all focus. Crying, baby
you,
Nortman.
You see how the hip's right there, son? You see that right there? Embody that.
Hey, the boys should be watching.
That's right. They're pretty locked in. They're pretty locked in. We watch some football here and there.
Oh,
not the Badgers.
I bet they
don't commit to the Badgers.
Don't do that.
You see that?
They don't need to see those losing football.
We will have Jason Woodley joining us next, and actually, quite a bit of news over at Lambeau Field. Christian Watson practicing.
Yeah,
saying he feels 100% at practice. Wants to knock the rust off. Probably doesn't play against the Bengals. He's in his 21-day window here, so. Let's get to Jason Wilde on the latest and greatest with the Green Bay Packers, who are 13.5-point favorites against the Browns coming up this Sunday. Jason Wilde.
Not the Browns.
The Bengals. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
You said they are a reflection of their head coach.
Yes, yep. He's soft, as he proved with you by signing that damn jersey you had on. You think Campbell would have signed that jersey?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I'm going to enunciate the way I normally would as a nerdy fellow that I am.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
You know, you should be confident. You should be feeling yourself.
Holding everybody accountable.
I'm not saying you should be necessarily mad at him, but he bears some responsibility.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Yeah, I don't want to do this for three more hours either, so we're good then.
Join Jason Wilde next summer and explore the British landscapes in England, Scotland, and Wales. Text travel to 800-990-3776 or visit ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com for full details.
Tell me now, do you want it? Because these dancing feet don't cry.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Kyle Brustin Nortman, and I can say the full name of the show and not have to say... It's Ben, it's Kyle, it's Ben, it's Strofe, it's Ben, Kyle, and Brad. Jason, welcome into the show.
Hi, guys. How are you? Welcome back, Papa Brad.
Thanks, Jason. Come back a brand new man after welcoming our son into the world. So it's good to be back. Lexi is holding down the fort, the estate, excuse me, all the way back there. So I get to sit back, relax, and talk some sports while she is white-knuckling it with all the kids over there.
Kyle... Benjamin, is that what you went with the name? Kyle Benjamin?
Kyle Benjamin Strofe Nortman.
What a name.
KBSN.
No, you're definitely not using Strofe.
Not even Strofe.
What about
Alexander?
Jason Wilde Nortman? How does the sound of that one flow off your tongue?
You know, Jason, as we established on Wilde and Tausch,
It had its heyday in the 70s when I got it, but there nobody's naming their kids Jason anymore. Just like nobody's naming their kids, as Tausch says, Ruth. But yeah, hey, you never know.
Hey.
Maybe it'll make a comeback.
My grandma's name was Ruth.
That's the entire
exactly.
point.
Jason,
you thinking about Ruth for a future baby?
Middle name, maybe.
Jason, exactly. You're saying you were blessed with two wonderful girls. If you had a boy, would you name him, Jason Wilde Jr.? JWJ?
No. If we had been blessed with a boy, it was going to be Alec Steven, with the middle name for my best friend from high school. And then we never reached that level. So, no, I was almost. So, my great grandfather, and father on my, obviously on my dad's side, were all Henry Thomas. And so, which I don't use any of that information in any of my personal logins or anything, so don't worry about that. but I was almost Henry the Fourth.
Wow,
it sounds like
a king.
Like, exactly, which would have been horrible. Can you imagine how
Henry
I would have been bullied
fourth.
On the playground?
Henry!
Oh, here comes the prince! Yeah, no.
Walking into
better.
Media availability with Bisaccia and Wilde, and LaFleur.
Would your nickname would have been Quattro?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. Thank God I didn't have to find out.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Kyle, Bruston, Ortman. Christian Watson sounds like he's pretty happy with how practice went today. Based off your vibe and feeling, what do you think an appropriate timeline is to actually see him on the field for a game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I never say anything absolutely. That's the guy that's on the air from 5 to 6's job. And by the way, Homer, I believe, has done away with 100% and 0% at my admonishment. So I'm very excited about that. I would say this. He obviously has made a ton of progress in 9 months, which is phenomenal. But once you've gotten this close to the finish line, I know there's a temptation to sprint, right? I would recommend being more cautious than that. But again, I'm not a doctor. So if they deem him ready after Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practices, that would be really, really impressive. I would think that they would want to do it at home, and that's part of the problem here. Because after this, they have back-to-back road games again, Arizona and Pittsburgh. So I'm not ruling it out. I guess I would be mildly surprised. But he told us he felt like he was 100% today. Now, again, it was a shells practice. It certainly wasn't high intensity. I assume they're going to be in pads on Wednesday. That's what Zach Tom was telling me because I asked him. Because both him and Aaron Banks practiced as well.
That's all good news.
Yeah, but again, I'm not trying to be a dark cloud on that, but like, yeah, it's great. It's great because they have their bye week. But what sucks is that they have their bye week in week 4, which doesn't really help you when you get to week, 13 or 14. And you're really wishing that you had had a break more recently. So
yeah, I guess I'm confused about the whole oblique thing. Like, is that just like pain tolerance at this point through the rest of the year?
No, I mean, I think he can still do, I think he, as I understand it, and again, I'm not
Zach Tom, obviously,
a doctor. Yeah. It's a strain or tear in your oblique muscles, which are basically on the sides of, some of us are guts, others on the sides of your abs.
Fat to me, baby.
But, yeah, exactly. But, like, yeah, I think he can tear it again. Like, I do think pain tolerance is part of the equation. But I also think that, he said it felt really good today. But, of course, it did. He didn't do anything all week, right?
Yeah.
He didn't play last week. Like, the concern, and he basically said, look, I have to, because I got to talk to him for 2 minutes today. He said the thing he's got to do is have somebody bull rush him and anchor down against the guy and see if it causes pain. Because that's what he felt in that very first play in Cleveland against Myles Garrett. And he was like, I can't do this because the pain was so excruciating. So, again, we have to be careful with our expectations.
J. Jason, a lot that we could talk about from the first 4 weeks, but one thing I want to hone in on is something that I thought was going to be just an easy money home run. You have no idea how the season's going to go, but you can rely on this. That's Josh Jacobs running the football. But so far through four games, it's been pretty lackluster. What do you diagnose as the issue, and what's your level of concern for them getting back to how it was when they were prime time running the ball last year?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Papa Bear. And I would say this. By the way, that's totally going to be your new nickname from my segment.
I can't speak
for anybody else, but you're, cause Papa Jaguar, Papa Panther. No,
but wait,
really
now
like
you're associating me with the Chicago Bears. I don't know how much I like that.
Yeah, no. It's a Papa Bear. I'm thinking of like in,
Goldilocks
nursery rhyme.
Oh, wait. Like, Jason, what makes Brad a Papa Bear and not Ben Papa Bear? Yeah, Ben's been a Papa Bear for almost 2 years.
Yeah, I'm still adjusting to that concept, quite frankly. I would be happy to bestow upon
you can just
Liz
call me
the
Daddy.
Mama Bear.
Daddy.
Mama Bear. I believe in her. So I think Ben will just remain Ben from my spot. But,
Daddy works,
anyway,
Jason. It's all good.
Who's your daddy?
So
I'm going to stick with Papa Bear and skip the rest of this conversation.
Did we answer Papa
Look,
Bear's question?
Papa Bear,
no,
Papa Bear needs an answer.
I was rudely interrupted by, well, never mind. Look, I think here's the thing. It's never one thing. So it's the fact that defenses clearly have done everything they can to basically shut him down in hopes of forcing Jordan Love into a mistake. And Jordan Love has made very few of those. Although he's made a couple in critical moments, as we know, the last 2 weeks. I think their offensive line's inconsistent play. You know, I think Elgton Jenkins has struggled more than you expected him to in his move to center. So I think that's part of it. I think the inconsistency in terms of the chemistry of the offensive line with guys in and out of the lineup has been part of it. And then, you know, I think Josh Jacobs would say that he hasn't forced enough broken or missed tackles because he's been hit almost immediately far too often. I was talking to Emmanuel Wilson about this today. I'm sure I'll talk about it with Josh Jacobs later in the week. But, you know, they do think that they may have found something in the second half of the game against the Cowboys. Because if you look, Josh Jacobs, who ran 16 times for 30 yards against the against the Browns, he had run 8 times for 16 yards in the first half against the Cowboys. So basically 2 yard average over a game and a half there. And then he was 14 carries, 70 yards in the second half. And Emmanuel Wilson was really productive too. They were over 100 yards combined. So I think they're hoping that that combined with maybe getting their preferred starting offensive lineman back will allow them to kind of get that running game going again.
Jason, at the start of the season, if people would have told fans that the Packers would be 2-1-1, do you think they would have been more optimistic than what we are now? Because I know after the start of the season being 2-0 and then a loss to the Browns and then a tie to the Cowboys, it feels like team guys or people are a little bit more negative than what they should be.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's important to be careful with how you view this stuff, right? Like, if I'm looking at the schedule in April or May when it came out, I'm thinking, and I was thinking, boy, they got to split those first two games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And instead they won both of them. And so then the calculus changes and the expectations change. And they did. You know, we have people talking about them going undefeated. You know, between Kyle and Rasheed Walker, it was ridiculous.
Two legends.
Yeah, two somethings. you didn't get in nearly as much trouble as he did from his head coach. But what I'm saying is that then, you know, if they had split those games and then had a win and a tie in the next two, I don't think you would feel as bad because you'd be like, okay, you feel like they're trending in the right direction. Like, look at the Lions. Like, the Packers crushed them in the opener, but they are clearly trending in a very positive direction now. They've kind of found their legs, and they feel really good about what they're doing. And so, like, I think the Packers schedule sets up here for an opportunity to make Packers fans feel that way too, right? The Bengals are in dire straits. The Cardinals just
they lost
kicked
three
away
straight
a game.
Games on a field goal.
Right, and they had that game and they kicked it away against a winless Tennessee Titans team. And then you got the Steelers again and Aaron Rodgers. And if you can win that, that's going to give you a good boost, right? And then that puts you in a really good, puts you in winning three in a row going into the Philadelphia game. Now, if Matt LaFleur heard me talking about this, he'd burst into my office and say, no, we're working on going 1-0 every week, Wildy. And that's their job to think that way.
Of course.
And they probably didn't do a good enough job of that earlier in the season. So that's the path. And I think, you know, people like Kyle who love their Packers and get frustrated with some of their inconsistent play will feel a heck of a lot better about them if they can go on a three-game run here and go into that showdown with the Eagles, who have their own issues. They've won four,
sure,
but they haven't been very impressive on their way doing it.
Yeah, and even just looking, like, this happens every single year, and I always caution when the schedule comes out because there is one that I was circling, and I know that Lamar Jackson was out last week, but their defense is horrendous right now, and they're 1-4. And so what felt like it could be, you know, a heavyweight, 2 12-win teams might not be the case when the Ravens come to Lambeau Field. So you just got to – I mean, they have an opportunity to still knock off some wins here against what teams that they would beat pretty regularly last year with a worse record, so to speak.
Yeah, the opportunity is there. But, again, it's incumbent on them to actually take advantage of it. Like, you know, as Matt LaFleur said to us before the bye, you know, are we happy to be, we're 2-1-1. Are we happy with that? No, of course not. Like they should be better than that record wise, but more importantly, they haven't played well in their last two games, whether it's on the offensive side or the defensive side or both. So they need to get right in those terms. And there's a lot of things they can do, but their inconsistency on both sides of the ball plus special teams, it's not going to get better until they figure those things out.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Look forward to listening to you on Wildy and Tausch and talking to you on Thursday.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wildy of Wildy and Tausch, and I still can't get out of my head, how close are we to 808 first pitch? Because I know what's inside of American Family Field.
Well, that's right. I'm counting down because you can find inside American Family Field and also inside the Norman Estate plenty of carb lists. T-minus 4.5 hours till first pitch. You know that first pitch is going to be accompanied with an ice-cold carb list. Whether you're going to the game, tailgating, enjoying it at a local establishment or at home, make sure you have a carb list in your hand. There's no carbs, no sugars, just 100 calories with no gluten. That carbonation is just absolutely perfect to quench your thirst, but not so much to upset your stomach. And there's everything that you can trust as far as ingredients inside that can. There's a flavor for everyone. I told you, I went to Costco. I got that unbelievable margarita pack that I've just been enjoying. But there's classic cocktails. There's fruit flavors. There's something for everybody, particularly as the fall rolls around and you enjoy October baseball with the Milwaukee Brewers. So enjoy your carbless like I will tonight and discover why this is more with a cold carbless in your hands.
Speaking of Brewers. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
Student Athlete Support Fund is something I was looking at. I'm ultimately likely going to give to the
Long week.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I had a good time talking with the fine folks at Palermo's at Game 1. It was fun talking to John Leonardo, the director of marketing.
My boy John, man!
You know why it was fun?
He hook you up?
No. Because I think he is a Cubby fan.
Oh.
So I got to rub it in the face a little bit. You know, hey, thanks for coming all the way up. And then in 2 innings, boom! Dreams are crushed.
You think he's a Cubbies fan? I heard he was donned in like red, blue, and white, wasn't he? He was wearing Cub stuff.
It was like a dark shirt where it like didn't pop.
Oh,
so I think he was trying to hide it.
Smart play by him, actually.
Take the boy off. It's just John. Just John. Pizzas are delicious.
They absolutely are. And as you know, they're always thinking about you. 2 for $10 through tomorrow on Screamin' Sicilian at Piggly Wiggly. 2 for $10 on Screamin' Sicilian pizzas. The Thin and Crispies are amazing. Just this past Friday on the B-Day, I was like, you know what I want for my birthday? I want a Cheez-It pizza. I want a Boss Hog original Screamin' Sicilian. And I want a tavern-style sausage pep. And our daughter had the tavern style. The crust is perfect for her because it's thinner, so it's not thicker, and she's got the teethers, can get through it. Loves pizza. Loves pizza. I can even, whatever she doesn't eat, I pack in lunch for the next day, and she's eating cold frozen pizza after I cook it the next day, and she loves it. So she's already in on Palermo's, starting them young. You can start right now if you haven't. If you have already started, you know what I'm talking about. You can taste what all that screaming is about. Get to Piggly Wiggly for 2 for $10. Palermo's, taste what all that screaming is about. Kyle Bruston-Ortman with you till 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock on ESPN Wisconsin. Hit us on the Carbless Talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Who's the new guy? That's Brad Nortman. Fair question from Ryan McGuanago on the Carbless Talk and text line.
Wouldn't it be funny if somebody just started watching Kyle Bruston-Ortman over like the next last month and were like, Who's this guy?
I'm not gonna lie. When I left, I put my backpack on. I fill up
first
my water,
day of school.
Put my water bottle, and Lexi's feeding our son. And I'm like, Lexi, I'm a little nervous. I haven't been on the radio in a month. I'm a little bit nervous. How am I doing, KBN Nation? Like, no time has passed. I hope so.
You didn't let us answer the question.
Yeah, we didn't let you. I bet you approve it today that I can give you no airtime.
Oh. All right, there's one thing I got to get to here, and then I do want to. I mean, I'm so – the roof's going to be closed. It's going to be loud in there because the storms are coming in.
Oh, the storm is coming. Boy,
or rain or whatever.
Can we just say October baseball, roof open, shading the Brewers. But I mean
– the crying from the Cubs and the reporters.
Pathetic.
The eyes. The eyes. How about those 9 runs right in your eyes?
Man, this is beautiful.
So you said something, Brad, that obviously you can do the "oh, it's about Ben" thing. But yeah, it is. You said you had a Ben Brust moment. I don't know what the hell that means.
Okay, so I know that you guys got a little bit of runway with the whole "what are we naming our son" type of thing. So I'm going to get to the Ben Brust moment, but just give me a minute to walk through our naming thing. So we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. We wanted to wait specifically. So we loved our 2 girl names. We loved them. The boy names were like, we like them, but we'll figure it out. We were told that when you see the baby, you'll know. Oh, you'll know for sure. No doubt about it. So when baby came and I pull across the umbilical cord and I look at it and say, Lexi, it's a boy. When the dust had settled and everyone leaves the room, we're like, what are we going to name this kid? So we start calling him different names. So
how many different names did you call this? Well, so human being.
So we had 3 names. Like,
usually you do this with dogs.
Yeah, we had 3 names that we liked, that we thought it was going to be one of the 3. So baby's born. We had Weston.
Oh.
We had Gibson.
Oh.
And we had Thompson.
What?
Thompson? T-O-P-S-O-N?
T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N and call him like Tom.
Oh, like Thompson.
Thompson. Thompson.
Well, I heard Thompson.
No,
like,
Thompson.
What the hell is that?
Wait, Weston? Tom.
Weston, this, Gibson.
Gibson.
So you really wanted a sin.
Yeah, you did.
We liked it ending in N. And the final name also ends in N. It flows well into Nortman, is my humble opinion, and multiple reasons. I sent you guys a whole text on
You did.
And it was beautiful.
But okay, so we get to where we're being discharged from the hospital, and they're like, we need a name. And we're like, we don't have it. Like, what's going to happen? I read all the fine print on the Social Security forms.
Of course you did.
And everything. I poured into it. And it basically said, you can just give him a last name and you change it later. You have 365 days in the state of Wisconsin finalize a name. So
the name you have now is going to stick?
So for 12 days... our son was known only as Nortman.
Baby
blank
Nortman.
First name, blank middle name, Nortman.
I have a quick follow-up on that.
Yeah.
So were the people in the hospital surprised that you walked out without a name? Because I imagine it's not very common for somebody to have a baby and not have a name picked out and ready to go.
It's not. And they have like all this paperwork that they need to do to submit it to the authorities and Social Security and Vital Records Office. So they're like, this does not happen like ever. Like that you bring a home.
You're a nuisance.
Okay, that's right.
What does his birth certificate say?
So I'm going to get there. So We come home, and it's Sunday night, right? He's born on Saturday afternoon, Sunday night, and we're like, we don't know what to call him. So we're going to try out these names. So we call him Weston for a few days. We call him Gibson for a
Lil
few days.
Little Gibby!
We call him Thompson for a few days. We also tried Woodson. We tried Woodson. And I got like Charles Woodson kind of thing. Shout out to Adam, owner and founder of Car Bliss. He thought Carl Bliss Nortman would be a good one. So that was a shout out. That was a fun one. But we tried all these names day after day after day. And we're like, none of these really fit. Until we got to the name we landed on, which is Williamson Bradley Nortman, and we're going to call him Will for short. But after all that time, we're like, okay, Will is the name. It took 12 days to establish it. Ben, this is where you come into play. So we're like, okay, we know now that the...
Bradley Nortman. I have some names already.
Okay, and there's a lot of...
Names.
Of course, Ben. What do you fully mean? On the playground. So, Ben, hold on to that. So,
oh, I will.
So we know that it becomes more complicated if you didn't do it originally. You have to go and basically change everything, and it's a complicated, stressful headache of a process, but we accepted that, right? So we called the vital records office and said, hey, we had our son on September 6th. We need to change his name. It's blank. They're like looking. Boy, I don't see anything here, guys. And we're like, what? That can't be. They say, call the hospital. We call the hospital. They're looking into it. Oh, my goodness. We never submitted anything.
Oh,
how
lucky
about
you.
That? Look at that. We can just, what do you want the name to be? They and it's like, this never happens. We never forget to submit anything.
Well, because so they probably don't have
to. They're like, what, is this baby
so,
exist?
So we were able
then
to contact
name.
The
hospital.
We were able to contact the hospital. They were able to fill out the original forms like nothing ever happened. Bada boom, bada bing. Easy money for Williamson Bradley to be born and be named. And the reason why I think of Ben Brust is because we sort of, you know, waited and waited and waited. But knowing that it was going to be painful when we eventually tried to change everything, what do you know? It worked out in our favor.
Okay.
It all worked out in our favor.
I didn't know what this Ben Brust
classic
moment.
Classic Ben Brust style.
I didn't know direction it was going. It was a good direction.
It was a good direction.
I wasn't sure which
Me
way.
Me either.
It was.
Somehow it just all worked out, and I just thought of Ben Brust.
I now will be asking if I can. I mean, this is your son's name. I go from Williamson to Will, which could also be William is Bill, so Billy, Brad Lee can be Brad. So I like Billy Brad Nortman.
Billy
Brad Nortman.
See, this is the kind of guy in the playground that
Billy
you just need to
you need to
fight a little bit.
Going from Williamson Bradley to Billy Brad?
No, it's
Billy Brad
it's
Nortman.
Will or Williamson. And you know, this is my son we're talking about, Ben.
Yeah. Now, this might be personal. What is your middle name?
William.
Yes, yeah, what I thought.
So he kind of like
Also, my middle name, therefore Brad's son, named after
wait,
me.
What's your father's name, Brad?
William.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of like a...
Then the first, the second, the third.
A little
you
bit.
You could call him Trey.
That's why I asked Jason.
Trey.
He could be Trey.
Trey Nortman,
the third.
Trey. Now he gets some street credit
with
the name Trey.
He would. That Trey Nortman, that boy can punt. That boy can punt right there. You know, his papa played in the NFL.
The only Trey in Oconomowoc.
It will be the only
Trey
in Oconomowoc.
That's right. For miles and miles.
Okay. Brewers next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
DKB, they get all my love, all my energy, and all my time. I'll be danged if GKB and Craig not going to allow me to take my half an hour boo-boo. If I need to do they need to allow
That's
me to do that.
That's your whole lunch break.
I don't even take a lunch break. I work during lunch.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
It started with a whisper.
All right. Before we wrap up the ESPN Wisconsin portion, I want to know from you, KBN Nation, plus us, who's your guy tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers? Who's your guy? 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless Talking text line. We start with the new guy, Brad Nortman.
My guy tonight is Bryce Terang. So Bryce Terang, he has had moments, I mean, sprinkled throughout the year, not only great on elite on defense, but his bat has really come around all season. He had a great game on Saturday. I expect him to do really come to play again. And about this for a little stat about Bryce Terang. So he is married to the sister of the starting punter for the Washington Commanders.
Mm.
How about that?
Oh, Tressway.
Isn't his name Trey?
Tressway.
Tressway. I know Tressway. He's a great guy.
That is
Bryce Strang.
Kyle, who you got?
I'm going with Christian Yelich. I feel like this would be a Yelly game. The stars need to come out in the most important moments, and I think going up 2-0 is very important. So I think Christian Yelich has a day.
You're right, Kyle. The stars do come out in the right moments. Salvatore, baby, come on.
So I feel like Strove could probably, let's see if he could guess who I'm going to go with.
Oh, you're easy to read. I read you like a book. You're a seam head, which means you're hardcore. That means you're not going for the sexy pick. There's no Andrew Vaughn. There's no William Contreras here. We already have Christian Yelich and Bryce Terang off the board, meaning you're going to go with the guy who had maybe the biggest hit in game one. You're going to go with the guy who had an 11 pitch at bat in game one, a guy who has been consistent, but maybe not the sexiest pick on the team. Your guy. Yeah, it's Blake Rake Perkins, isn't it?
He's good.
Dang!
That's Dang! Magic right there.
Not only was I thinking that beforehand, I wanted to see if I could find a little extra leverage. So I went to my good friend ChatGPT, and I wanted to know the lifetime at-bats for Brewers fans against Shota Imanaga.
Brewers fans.
Blake Perkins against Shota. Uh-huh. 3-for-4, 2 doubles, and a home run.
Oh, really?
Buddy.
Bryce Terang 1-for-9.
Okay. Well, Salvatore? He's overdue.
Salvatore's not on here because I'm guessing he didn't play a lot. Even though he's decent versus lefties,
yeah, he
he's a lefty. Terang 1-for-9 with a home run. Christian Yelich 3-for-10 with a home run, a walk, and several strikeouts has shown power against him.
Wait, tell me, wait. Are all three of the picks that we have home runs?
Bryce Yelly, is one hit.
Bryce and then
Blake, no Salvatore.
Real quick, you guys,
home runs tonight, baby.
You guys know my guy. Every game is going
to
be Salvatore.
Yes, and I will continue to look at Sal's numbers in correlation to the pitchers.
So I might get a little nerdy, so you can talk me out of this if you want. But Bryce Terang, that home run on Imanaga, was that series back in July where they were at Wrigley, and there was one game where their only run was a Bryce Terang solo shot. Was that game?
I can't tell you that. I could maybe prompt ChatGPT to let me know when that home run was. But another
prompt.
It says prompt is probably
maybe
in front
that was
of
June,
face.
But regardless, it was a series at Wrigley.
William Contreras was another one I'm interested in because he's 3-for-10, but 2 home runs in those 3 hits against Shota.
Dude, he gives up a lot of home runs against Brewers.
I read the stat earlier. He's 4.7 ERA in the second half of the season, 12 earned runs in 15 innings pitched against the Brewers.
Home runs. I can't
believe it. Was it the home run
game for the Brewers? Rain today, baby.
We'll find out. Blake Perkins is my guy. 3-for-4, 2 doubles, and a home run. All extra base hits against Shota for Blake Perkins. Obviously a switch hitter, which bodes well for him being in the lineup, as Jackson Chourio likely going to be getting some rest for that hamstring. You got Jim, Matt, and Molly. They're coming up next on 100.5 ESPN Madison. That is the home of the Milwaukee Brewers, an affiliate. The Dam Sports Show in Beaver Dam. Corey and Wally got you there. And we, the whole team, Ben, Kyle, Brad, Strofe, we're with you till 5 o'clock, leading you in to as close as we can get to 808. It's Kyle, Bruston, Ortman in 2 minutes. That never ends.